morning and welcome to Good to Grow. I'm Norma Martinez.
And I'm Denise Rodriguez.
And Denise, today we are welcoming back John White to the show. John White's the garden curator at the Chihuahuan Desert Gardens here on the UTEP campus. And so welcome back, John.
Thank you, Norma.
Well, there's a reason why you're here. And the reason for that is another Sunscape workshop that you've got coming up next week. So before we get into the details, just sort of give us a brief when and where.
Okay. The Sunscape program is something that we've held for a number of years, and we try and change it up a little bit each time and, you know, add some new information. But it is a program designed kind of for maybe new people to El Paso or people that aren't real comfortable gardening, kind of give them a little idea on how to garden in the local area and, you know, things to look for, things to watch out for, and kind of water conservation, you know, use of adapted low water use plant materials. But we try and cover the whole gamut, but the program is Saturday, October 25th, and it's from 8 to 4:30, so full day. We encourage people to bring a little lunch with them and just eat there, because we try and do a short, you know, half-hour lunch, so everybody kind of stays on site. You can go out and, you know, snack out in the garden and
come back in,
but UTEP, sometimes once you get away from campus, it's hard to get back on.
That's
so
true.
So we like to keep people on campus and, you know, see the garden, see the campus, and we'll have some tours and different speakers speaking about different subjects and trying to get people oriented to growing things here in El Paso.
Well, I remember years ago, this used to be a workshop that used to be a weekly workshop that used to be, what, about an hour, 2 hours a night out of the week. And when you guys went to the day-long workshop, what kind of change did you see?
Well, there was a change. I mean, we definitely were able to go into a lot more detail when we did it weekly. But then some people could make it one week, couldn't make it another week. And so we'd end up with, you know, 10 people one time and 20 people another time, and and then a totally different 10 people the next time. You know, so it's like people couldn't make it for those 4 or 5 weeks in a row. They, you know, we tried to do it Saturday and Sunday, and the same kind of things were happening. People would come on Saturday, but wouldn't come on Sunday, and they'd have conflicts in their schedule and stuff. So we started doing it as one day and trying to concentrate on the most important stuff and, you know, kind of shortening things and not being able to go in as much detail. But we now give them a thumb drive with a lot of publications and resources on the thumb drive that they can do, kind of do their homework on, have stuff that they can go back
smart
to.
Well, I know that you're saying this is maybe a class that could be for somebody who's maybe new to the region, or, you know, maybe there's somebody who's been living in El Paso all their life. Maybe they just bought a new home that's not landscaped, and maybe they want to learn a little bit about how to garden sensibly with the type of climate in which we live. And I know that this class covers, like you said, a whole bunch of topics. So if there's somebody new to El Paso and they're thinking about, you know, doing some landscaping, what kind of topics are you guys going to be covering that's going to help educate them about what to do?
Well, we have a landscape architect that's going to talk about the design portion of it and, you know, kind of show some pictures of projects that he's put in using, you know, Chihuahuan Desert plant material and stuff to kind of give people an idea, because you can go over the basics, you know, scale and, you know, color and all that, but it doesn't do much good until they can actually see it. So showing people some designs I've actually gone in and kind of going through the process of doing a design, and not everybody is a designer, so a lot of times it's kind of learning some of the basics and then just knowing or finding a resource and how to find a good resource to go out and get a design done. Just don't go out and hire the first person off the street and expect everything to be perfect. So you need to do your background checks, you know, look at past jobs the person's done, see whether you like that type of landscape style they're doing, talk to the homeowner that actually had the design put in, find out if they're happy with it. Did the guy honor his warranty? Were there, you know, plants that died, did he come back and replace them? You know, did you have any problems? And those kind of things. So you're a good consumer. You know, you always hear these stories about people that hire contractors to come in and they pay them up front and then they disappear.
Mm-hmm.
And so
they leave you with a giant hole in the ground.
Right. Same thing with landscapers. You want to make sure that you do have somebody that's got good background, make sure they're insured. You know, if you take somebody that's not insured, they're, you know, hurt on the job or do damage to your property, you know, break into gas line, water line, you know, then you're going to have some serious expenses and your homeowner's going to have to pick it up.
And this is where I think the class is going to be really good to help educate people when it comes to hiring a landscape designer, because all of the topics that you cover in the class are something that, whether or not the person who attends the workshop does it himself, at least they'll have some education about how a landscaper is supposed to be doing something. For example, irrigation. I know you're going to be covering irrigation in the workshop, or plant placement, you know, the direction on which the sun is coming into your home, et cetera. All that is sort of going to come into play.
And, right.
that.
And I think also for homeowners can do is take pictures of plants or write down names of plants that they do like, so that when they do have the conversation with their landscaper or their designer, you can, you know, cut out all of the guesswork and really get down to what it is that you like. I like snapshots of existing landscapes that you like, so that you can kind of use that to translate to your designer what you envision for that area. Because I know a lot of people have taken the Sunscape class and have begun the process of transforming their traditional lawn into more of a xeriscape native plant base. So it's a really great starting point to do that actual conversion, because there's a lot of steps involved in that to have it successfully done.
Right. You know, Wynn Anderson, that used to be the curator here at the garden and stuff, you know, he said, you know, if you haven't killed a plant, you're not a very good gardener.
That's true.
So, you know, don't be afraid that you're going to lose a plant or two. It happens, and, you know, sometimes it might be your fault. Sometimes it may be beyond your help, but you know, try and learn the basics so that you do hopefully correctly when you first start, and it gives the plants and everything a much better chance to grow. I mean, Denise and I, one of the big ones we see is people buy this little 1 gallon plant at the nursery, looks nice and cute, and they stick it in the yard, and they have no idea what the size of the thing's going to be. So it may get placed 1 foot away from the wall because it looks in proportion with the wall when it's a 1 gallon. But instead, the thing's going to be, you know, 8 feet by 8 feet, and it's pushing against the wall, or it's a Italian cypress, because they look, you know, little tiny 1 gallons, you know, and they're only about 4 inches wide, you know. Yeah. You put them about a foot away from the wall, and that plant's going to be 4 feet wide at least, and, you know, 50 feet tall possibly. So it's hitting the roof, you know, and people end up having to prune them because they're hitting the eave of the house. Right. Yeah, lots of problems. So when you're doing the design, you always want to design it to the, you know, hopefully the maximum size of that plant. So when you put that tree in, you know, it's going to be 30 or 35 feet wide and 30 feet tall. Well, you want to make your drawn to scale design with the 30-foot tree in the design, so you can see how the canopy on that tree is going to, you know, fit into the yard. Is it going to shade out your sun-loving plant that you planted under it? Or is it going to shade out the grass? You know, you got to think about those things. When they're young, it looks all right to put the grass right up against it. But when that tree's, you know, older and mature, it's shading the grass out.
Right. And I know that we have some questions when we have our live show. You know, I want to buy a tree, but which one would be the best one for me? Right. And I know that you have a section. Is Oscar Mesta going to be helping you out? Well, he's the best tree guy in the area, so he's the perfect one to give this particular talk to tell people about the kinds of trees that would work for them.
And people are surprised, too, how big mature trees can get, because a lot of times in our areas, we see them underwatered. So they're almost dwarfed because of the drought stress that they're under. So when you walk out there and you see a little, you know, an ash tree, well, that's not in its ideal conditions. So, don't just think you have a positive idea that that's how big that plant is going to get.
And there's some, you know, new techniques. Hopefully, you know, both Denise and I have been trying to teach them over the years, but there are some new techniques on planting that people need to follow, because if you don't do it right, you know, 6-8 years down the line, the tree dies, and it was due to your poor planting practice back at the time the tree was planted. Mm-hmm. So you've wasted 6 or 8 years worth of that plant's growth. Right. And it's going to get chopped down, and you're going to be starting all over again. So, you know, do it correctly the first time. Don't skimp. Start with good quality trees and plants and plant them correctly, and hopefully they'll pay you back in time with a large, you know, tree that shades and cools the house and gives you a nice backyard to entertain in, and it'll be there for the lifetime.
So who are going to be some of the other speakers in the workshop? I know we mentioned Oscar already, and you yourself are going to be one of the speakers.
David Cristiani is a landscape architect here in town. He'll be speaking. Cheryl Gehring will be speaking. And so there's four of us that are in the group there that'll be kind of educating the masses.
So you've got them in topics, right? So just give us a brief sort of summary as what the topics are going to be.
Well, some of the topics are, you know, the landscape design, but also talking about basic soils and, you know, our climate, kind of an introduction to the El Paso climate. And, you know, we all get wrapped up a little bit in pH, and pH in a southwestern soil is alkaline. You know, no surprise. You know, but people all get worried about acid soils. Well, we don't have acid soils here. We're an alkaline southwestern city, and you can pour straight acid on the ground, and it converts
back.
Not
that we encourage you to.
And it converts back to alkaline soil, so you're not going to change it. So use the plant material that's appropriate with the area, and you won't have the problems. And so, you know, trying to teach them a little bit about just the basics of our conditions here, our soils, our climate, you know, plant material. We see plant material that's brought in from Phoenix or Southern California or something. And, you know, if we have our cold winter, which, you know, if you've lived in El Paso very long, wait a few years and we'll have one. It'll be here.
A really good one. Yeah.
And so you either got to be ready to protect your plants, or they're going to be injured or die out. And I know it's tough. I had a plant that had made it for, you know, 10 or 12 years, a chur pine, beautiful, beautiful pine tree. Mm-hmm. One of my favorite pine trees, and that 2011 freeze, it was toast. It was the first, first plant to die. It just turned to toast. I hated to cut that thing down because it had been there. It was 40, 50 feet tall.
And
you just hate to cut something, you know, that big down, but the cold just got it. So,
yeah, my beautiful desert museum, Palo Verde, was also a victim of that freeze.
And we do have those years, so I like to try and tell people to be a little bit conservative on their plant choices, so that they go with the colder zone 7 plants rather than zone 8, and that way they have a little insurance when those cold winters come.
So whether or not you're new to El Paso or you've been here all your life, but you just want to learn a little bit more about your surroundings, tell us once again about when and where that Sunscape class is going to be.
Okay, the Sunscape class will be here at UTEP at the Centennial Museum on October 25th. It'll be from 8 to 4:30. There is a $35 registration fee. We ask for a cutoff deadline because we are limited on our space of October 23rd is the deadline. And then call the museum at 915-747-8994 and register for the class. Or if you have questions, you can ask questions about the class.
And I'll have that information linked onto the Good to Grow page at ktep.org. Well, John White, Garden Curator of the Chihuahuan Desert Gardens at UTEP, thanks again for coming on the show.
Thank you both.
I'm Norma Martinez.
And I'm Denise Rodriguez.
And remember, a gardener's shadow is the best way to keep your garden good to grow.